That's right, girl.
How are you?
Player. Nice of you to be here. Oh,
player,
what?
Player.
Oh, you want to watch some TV? Well, I've got some fry sauce right here.
Let's watch Kirby Hayborn.
Let's watch Kirby Hayborn. Every movie he's ever done.
On the Daily Dish.
But before we do that, welcome to This Week in Mormons. It's a new year, and we have a
Happy
new look.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah. This is our first show of 2013, and in so doing, we're putting out the vibes of seduction.
We're doing something. I'm not sure what exactly we're achieving here, but it's happening.
I say that on a daily basis.
Yeah, that is so true.
But thank you for being here, folks. We'll see how much of a show we get in for you today. We know it's later in the week, holiday, and Al has a very busy week on the on his shop's end, so we'll see how we do.
I'm working like a dog. We're literally, this is going to be like a 20-minute show. We're just checking in here. We're just checking in. We're saying hi. That's how we do it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Al could be called away at any moment to fix any number of things and do things. So he's like a doctor on call.
It's true. I'm a doctor.
He is a healer of textiles.
Of commerce.
Yeah.
A healer of textiles. Yes,
so how, my amigo, how was the old New Year?
No, it's good. It was good. New Year's Eve is one of those like eternally disappointing holidays.
I agree.
No matter how, like, I always end up looking forward to it. And then when it gets here, I'm just disappointed and frustrated with it. Because, I mean, unless you're dating somebody or you're going out with somebody that you're very excited about, it's just completely unfulfilling, always. And so what I ended up doing is I nipped it in the bud. I just went and grabbed some dinner with some friends. And then I went down to a family friend that I knew out in Hawaii. They're living out here now. And so we went
down and played
Madden and Quelf with their family.
Had you played Quelf before?
I played it once over Christmas. My sister got it as a Christmas present.
Okay, because my family has been playing it for years, and we think it's hilarious. What was your take on it?
You've been playing it for years?
I've known about Quelf for a while.
I thought it was a brand new game. I didn't know it existed.
No, it's been around. It's just not like a big game. You actually half the time you have to shop around just to find it. It's, you know, it's.
Yeah, well, so I thought it was great though. The things.
It's just stupid. It's great.
It's great if, like, people play along, right? I mean,
exactly.
You'll have the people in the group that are just like, I'll take the penalty. I'm at zero still. And you're just like, all right, get out of here.
Yeah.
But if you have fun people, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I figured you'd like it. It goes along in the same vein as, you know, Mao, and you get a big kick out of that game.
Five-card traditional Mao starts. Nah. Oh, that's such a frustrating game.
Unfortunately, my dear fiance does not really care for Mao or Quelf. It is
she doesn't like a game where she's of just absolute frustration.
Well, a lot of people don't like Mao, but who doesn't like Quelf? It's just stupidity. It's just good fun dumbness.
How is this so?
Even the characters, you know, like one of the characters is what, like the pickle? Or the characters are, I don't even know where they came from.
Well, I haven't played it enough to even get through an entire deck of cards. I played two rounds of it. But those rounds, they can last forever.
Yeah, you look at the board and you think it could be done very quickly because it doesn't appear to have much
Not true.
Space,
Not true.
But it can take a very, very long time. It's true.
Anyway, what'd you do for New Year's, man?
Some friends threw a party. It was good. It was fun. It was, you know. Okay.
I feel like you painted me a picture with words.
We played this game called when you go like dippy 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 dip and you like point your fingers at someone across the way and they have to do it and the people next to you say dip dip dip. Has anyone ever played this? Does this ring a bell?
No, it sounds terrible.
It kind of was. When I finally made it to a point when I was, you go to the back of the line basically if you fail, and I just walked away.
Yeah, it sounds like an awful night.
No, it was okay. It wasn't my favorite game, but I wanted to be, you know, a supporter of things. And the party was good, and I got a smooch at midnight. So,
attaboy.
Who's to complain?
Not you.
No, it was fine. I'm with you, though. New Year's is inevitably disappointing. I mean, we didn't go to the party till around 10:30, and I was just like, I'm happy just sitting here watching Ryan Seacrest. I don't need to go anywhere.
I mean, it's one of those where, like, I think it'll be more fun once you have a family and, like, you're at home with the kids and you're just, I mean, it's a rare night to stay up till 1 a.m. with a bunch of kids. But, like, as, I mean, as single adults, for me, it was just like, oh, well, I guess I'll go home and do some more work now. It's only 1 o'clock. I mean, it was just kind of.
Yeah, for you. I went home and went to bed.
It was just kind of bizarre. I mean, it was like, I do this every night. There's nothing special about this.
Oh, Al, I'm sorry.
Well, so.
But other than that, it was good. Other great things. I just want to. I'm feeling really positive about this. I've got the great vibes from Craigslist. Craigslist can be hit or miss, but by and large, I love it. It's the great democratizer of commerce, you know? People just sell what they want to sell, and people want to pay what they want to pay. However they
want
to do it,
do it. That is so true. That is like commerce. That's like all commerce.
No, but it's the democratizer of commerce. You don't have crazy over. You just have people going out saying, hey, I want to sell this. Here's what I want to sell.
Jeff, boom. Is this about that TV stand you got for $50?
It's about more than that. Well, I really haven't done anything.
I'm eating chocolate, if you can hear what I'm doing.
Based on the yum yums of your lips, I could tell it was chocolate.
Dark chocolate with white mint from Ghirardelli.
Love. From where? Ghirardelli?
Yeah.
Ghirardelli. It's called Ghirardelli. Oh.
I call it Ghirardelli.
There's an H after that G.
That's
anyway.
Jeff. Okay, go ahead.
It's been great. Furnishing an apartment with almost all Craigslist purchases has been very fruitful.
Oh my God.
You laugh. The only thing that was new is a bed, because I don't want to buy some used bed. But our couch, book. We got a killer bookcase on Saturday from West Elm, which is not a cheap mark. We got this. We got the.
I don't even know what West Elm is. That sounds fancy.
We got the TV stand. Tonight I picked up an end table and a coffee table from some people, and they happen to have the same dresser we're into, so they're going to deliver it to us on Saturday.
Jeff, you are so excited about this.
I really am. Craigslist has renewed my faith in the goodness of humanity.
How much are you out total for your entire apartment?
That is no one's business, but I can safely say that it is significantly less money than it would be to buy any of these items new.
How much did you pay for the couch?
I don't know. That happened when I was gone at my grandpa's funeral.
Oh my gosh. I hate you so much.
Why? Because I'm getting married and I have a house and a place with someone I care about?
No, because you're playing coy when it comes to finances. I get down to brass tacks, Jeff.
You can get down to brass tacks with me in private. But I was taught, just as I don't reveal how I vote in elections.
Well, no one cares how much you paid to furnish an apartment off of Craigslist. Why is that a secret?
Well, I honestly don't know what the couch cost. I don't remember.
You're just a creepy old man.
But if I can give you an example, it was $70 for the bookcase. And it probably retails for about $350.
Hello. See, that's exciting. That's the kind of information that our listeners want to know about.
Exactly. So I told you, probably about a third of what, and this is decent quality stuff. I ain't doing any particle board, folks. This is legit.
No, this is like oak.
So that was the fun on Saturday. We had to rent a U-Haul van and drive in the snowstorm just to get a bookcase. But in the end, all cheaper than buying it new.
You rented a U-Haul to get a bookcase?
Yeah, trucks are not as prevalent out here, so...
I just borrow one from a hick.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, the trucks just aren't as common out here. If you're the poor guy who actually is, like, in the young single adult program who owns a truck, you are doomed because you will be the guy moving everyone.
Yeah.
It's not like out west where there are many a truck to be found.
Your life is hard. I think you just haven't taken the time to get to know anyone out there.
No, I have, but now I just don't care. So I'm in my new ward. Things are dreamy. Oh.
So what's different for you this year, Jeff? What's going to change?
Well, I'm going to live with a woman who's not a blood relative for the first time in my life.
So. Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
So there's that.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
So I guess that's a big change. So, you know. I'm going to continue my weight loss goals.
Do you have those goals?
Yeah, I've been working on it. I mean, I've done really well with New Year's Eve goals the past couple of years. 2 years ago, I made a goal to write in my journal every day. I've been good about that since. And I've been trying to take better care of myself and the eating and the things. And I'm not like a big fella by any means, but you know.
No, you're a handsome dog.
But I'm trying to tone it down and tone it up. So
I see what you did there.
So other than that, I don't know. It's so busy. I don't know. What about you?
It's this is going to be the year. 30 minutes a day of scripture study, prayers twice a day. I'm bringing it back.
I applaud you for this, Al, because I do. It's a struggle. You know, we...
You know what kills me is I was like 100% for about 15 years, like never missed a day.
I know you were. I mean, I admired you a lot. Like, you know, like when you lived, you know, with me in California. Yeah.
I was in.
I didn't ever say anything about it, but like I admired it when I like walked by your bedroom and you'd be just poring over some books or writing in your journal all the time. And I was like, I like that this kid is doing that. You inspired me.
And now you're inspiring me. The master has become, how do they say, the student?
Well, it's the second day of the year, so I hope you are at 100% so far.
No, zero still. I'm just starting today.
Okay.
Yesterday, I've been working literally 40 of the last 48 hours.
Yeah, no, I know you have. I know. You've got big things going on.
Yeah, it's true.
So, but I'm glad. Keep that goal. Stick with it.
No, I'm stoked. It's going to be good. And so I'm using my Elders Quorum presidency. We are rallying around each other. Oh, yeah, you're the president.
I keep forgetting.
and we're going well, because it was kind of one of those things where like if we could have one goal as a quorum, it would be to all be doing that. And I was like, all right, fellas, we can't be hypocrites. We got to be knocking this stuff out. And I mean, everybody's got a little room to work on there, and so it's nice to not be alone with that. And we'll make good things happen.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't want to get too personal, but I'm excited sort of for the challenge of taking that level of stuff. No, don't. Come on.
Oh,
no. Of doing those things in a marriage setting. Because it's easy when you're on your own, but trying to work that in and like to have scripture study and prayer and those things consistently with a significant other does take a lot of work. And so it's going to be an interesting challenge to you know.
I would guess it would be easier. I would guess having somebody else to be accountable with would be easier. No?
I guess there is that element of it. But it's also surprisingly very busy when you are approaching these things.
Yeah, wait till you're married for 3 weeks and you're ostracized by the rest of society. Then you'll have all the time in the world.
That's a very good point. I imagine my skin will shift from its tone, which right now is sort of a dark eggshell, will shift to white from being a
mother of pearl.
So let's do some Mormon news before we go today.
Okay.
What little of it. Al, you were correct in that Warren Jeff's prophecies were incorrect.
Now may I? That makes me the true prophet. Warren Jeff's, you've been prophetized.
Yeah, so Warren Jeff's, you know, this of course is not news.
I love that painted picture that they use for him.
Is that painted or is that like, it looks like a scanned, you know, 5x7 photograph.
I don't know. Whatever they did, it offset his nose to the right by about an inch too much. And I think it looks great.
Yeah, but the problem is, what did happen though is that leaders of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there was a lot of concern about there being mass suicides because Warren Jeffs did predict Armageddon 2 days ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was one of those, like, what was the other one? We had the Halley's Comet with the purple shoes and the purple Nikes. You remember that?
You mean Hale Bopp. Haley Bopp? Hale Bopp.
Haley Bopp Comet. Whatever that one was. And they had like 30 people. But I mean, when you're part of that organization, you believe so strongly, and then it just happens. I mean, there is a risk of that.
Yeah. But I did not hear anything of any actual mass suicides.
Well, they don't have telephones there, so they probably wrote it in handwritten letters.
Maybe.
And they're on their way to us now.
Or we will receive notice when it arrives on horseback.
It's... Too soon? I'm sorry. Should I not? Maybe.
No. Nobody died. It's fair.
Okay.
Good friend. Oh, nothing. I saw another story that this is unrelated to Mormon news, but apparently a couple visited Disneyland every single day last year. Very impressive.
Was that your sister?
No.
You guys love Disneyland. I still do not understand.
That's because you lack the vision.
Yeah. I lack caring.
Disneyland is a wonderful place, and it broke my
heart.
For
children, Jeff. For little children.
Untrue, sir. It is good for everyone. And
does your fiance agree with this?
No.
I feel like she would be on
adult.
My side.
She is an adult. I, on the other hand, am a man. Am a boy trapped in a man's body.
You're a man-child.
And as Tobias Fünke says, there's a man inside of me. And only when he leaves will I truly be free.
So talk to us about the, let's see, we have the Mormon of the Year.
Oh, by the way, in Arrested Development news, that will be premiering, it's official, in May on Netflix, season 4.
Yeah, all right.
They dropped it.
That's good.
So Times
to be good.
Times and Seasons is doing, of course, once again, Mormon of the Year voting for 2012. The polls have opened now, and they'll be open through midnight Eastern time on January 7th. And you can go and vote. And, of course, the winner of the online vote, they stress, is not necessarily going to be the Mormon of the Year.
Oh, yes, he is.
But here are your nominees. Al, let's blow through these and give
John McNaughton. Never heard of him.
You're skipping, sir.
No, I'm at the top.
John, I think they change the order every time, actually. Weird.
Yeah?
So my first one is John Huntsman Jr., former governor.
Wiener, not even a good Mormon.
This is actually poorly worded, too. It says former governor and ambassador to China. That would mean that he was the former governor of China. You see, the clause was not appropriately separated.
Good call, Jeff. He doesn't get our vote.
So we got Huntsman. We got John McNaughton.
John McNaughton. We'll trade off.
You know John McNaughton. He's the one who drew those crazy paintings of, like, Republicans.
Illustrator whose politically themed paintings drew fire from national pundits.
Remember this guy,
shows?
The paintings that showed, like, Jesus and everyone and Republicans together and, like, Democrats.
The bookstore, the BYU bookstore quit carrying because he's not getting my vote.
So that guy. Here's one you'll appreciate. Manti Te'o.
Is he active still?
I don't know, but he's more... This Times and Seasons does not care if you are active or other. They just...
I mean, how can you be Mormon of the Year if you're not an active Mormon?
You could still be the Mormon of the Year. John Huntsman is also not the Mormon of the Year.
Well, Manti's done good things, but I don't... I hear mixed reviews on him as a person. Anyway, Jabari Parker. He clearly cannot win because he didn't choose BYU. He chose Duke.
What a monster. Ugh. My next one, Brandon Flowers. They say primarily for standing up to the atheist Richard Dawkins on that Swedish/Norwegian.
I really like that video clip, too.
I love that video clip. I just wanted to hug the guy and be like, dude, you're a baller.
That's our boy.
That was very impressive.
Terrell and Fiona Givens for publishing The God Who Weeps, a book that isn't a typical Deseret Book publication. What is The God Who Weeps? What is that?
It's made the rounds. I actually received a copy of it for Christmas, and I look forward to reading it.
Did God weep in it?
I think sometimes he does.
I mean, he weeps in Moses with Enoch, but I mean, he's not a frequent weeper.
Well,
we
don't know
like.
That, Al. I think when he observes you, more tears flow than you realize.
He's a weeper. Real weeper.
Well, you sadden him.
Yeah, that's fair.
What with your quilting and your anger?
Yep. That's right.
Where am I else on here? Let's see. This one, this is a very broad gift, but gay BYU students and Mormon parents of gays for their viral videos attempting to reduce gay suicides. That's like when Time Magazine made the person of the year you. It was the year YouTube dropped, like back in 2006, and their person of the year was just you. You, the reader. You are the person of the year. I said, I feel like this is a cop-out, Time Magazine.
Yeah, pick somebody, right?
Yeah, so the same thing. If you're going to pick a gay BYU student, who is noteworthy?
I got Joanna Brooks.
No, she's done.
Columnist, academic, published a memoir, The Book of Mormon Girl, and was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Fire.
I feel like that alone should qualify her.
Fire and brimstone, my friend. Fire and brimstone. Of course, I think one of the obvious choices here, Mitt Romney. You know, he was this guy who was like the candidate for president. And
would you give Mitt Romney the Mormon of the Year, Jeff?
See, I wonder about this. Honestly, who is more influential? I feel, especially now in the aftermath of the election, that the great Mormon moment seems to have been very much in part because of Mitt Romney's campaign. Now, once the campaign was over, things started to slow down very, very much. So, clearly he was carrying a lot of that on his back.
Yo, yeah.
And I think that the interest in the church was heightened for many factors, but primarily because of the Romney candidacy. So,
mm-hmm.
He honestly would probably get my vote. I mean, everyone's done different things that are important, but I think that...
Now, before you say that, did you realize that the Neon Trees, a Provo-based musical group, are also on this list?
It's true. It is true. And they made headlines for objecting to alcohol and tobacco ad sponsorships at their concerts. They also performed at during the New Year's festivities for Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Oh, neat.
And I couldn't help but smile to myself when I saw them rocking out, looking at their female drummer and thinking, that woman is a returned missionary.
Neat.
They are for real.
That is so neat.
Another one, Yasamake.
Yeah.
The founder of Mali Rising Foundation and a candidate for president in Mali before, of course, the military coup.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer. And for some updates on that, what was this in the Atlantic or was it in the New York Times this week? New York Times. I read a very, very sad story that how Mali now is pretty much the largest controlled area by the Taliban because of this coup, because of the power vacuum.
Formerly, it was the most democratic.
It did pretty well. It was a pretty well-established democracy in a predominantly Muslim country, and few African nations do very cleanly with democracy. It's very, very sad. So not only now is it sliding into corruption and autocracy, now you have the Taliban controlling the entire north of the country. So, sad stuff.
Last one, Bryce Harper, baseball player selected number one in the draft. He also made the National League's Rookie of the Year, called a question about his favorite alcoholic beverage a clown question, and was dating the BYU soccer player.
And he supports BYU soccer.
Yeah, you do.
But do we know, is Bryce Harper active? No one knows if he's...
She would not date an inactive Mormon, Jeff.
You don't know this.
In fact, this
rings a bell. Let's do some listener mail real quick.
Okay.
We got a mail last week from a listener, Brittany, who had heard from others that a bishop in a mid-singles ward had encouraged the sisters in his ward to consider dating and potentially marrying non-member fellas. And this goes back to our conversation a few weeks ago.
You know, what?
Yeah. Their bishop was saying, look, it might be wise to consider just marrying out of the church at this stage. It's a mid-singles ward. You're talking women in their late 30s or whatever. And this was troubling to our dear, and thank you for writing. And you, of course, any of you can contact us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about that, Al? Better?
Like, at this point, I mean, all they want to do is just feel a man's hand on their body.
That's so true.
No.
We talked about this before. Like, you know, we said what's worse, like a crummy temple marriage or a satisfying and fulfilling non-temple marriage. And this kind of goes along with that same idea.
Joanna Brooks would say the satisfying non-temple
Joanna Brooks
marriage.
Would say wear pants to church and burn your bras and rouse the rabble.
Oh, Jeff.
Rouse it. So I don't know. I don't have an opinion on this, not being in those shoes, but I can imagine that's a very difficult situation. But what does it mean when it's not, if you actually have a bishop potentially encouraging this?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a bishop's place. I don't know. Like, there a lot of things say, yeah, but a lot of things are also like, I mean, so your mentality at that stage, right? Let's say you get to that point, you're either thinking, well, I'll get married in the next life, and I will just be celibate till I die. Or right. You date outside the church, right?
Yeah, something's got to give.
So which one is the better of the two? I don't know. I don't know.
Neither do I. I do not envy the position of women in the church.
I don't envy the position of anyone in the any single person in the church at that stage.
But especially I feel like the
Let's not exclude me here, because I also do not envy my position.
Your singledom is a choice.
Is it?
If you would quit tilting at windmills and actually get something done.
Tilting and windmills?
Tilting at windmills. It's a Don Quixote reference. I'll let you look it up.
I thought I was breakdancing.
Well, that could be a byproduct of that. So I don't know. I don't know. But I agree that it's also troubling in a way. But at the same time, is it worse?
Well, I mean, what do you do as a bishop at that stage? Do you just... I mean, if you're trying to get... there's part of it could be like a missionary opportunity, right? You could look at that and say, if 10 of you go and marry outside the church, there's a chance that 5 of you might bring somebody else in.
And then you have to ask, look, is it better for you to be alone through mortality with the promise of someone later on? Because if you marry a non-member, you're not going to be sealed to them anyway. So is the promise of a sealing in the post-existence still there anyway? You were able to still have companionship and grow and have positive experiences and learn valuable lessons for eternal things, even if you're not sealed to somebody. Are you privy to those blessings? I have a lot of questions about the ins and outs of sealing stuff that we never talk about. Especially if parents get divorced. There's much I've wondered about, and there's like nothing on the books to explain.
What do you wonder about?
This is transitioning a bit. Especially, for example, now, if you have parents who are married and who get divorced and one of them marries somebody else and a sealing is broken, what does that mean for the kids? Is any sort of sealing still in effect, or does that mean the whole sealing is broken for the whole family?
Now, if I may, and I don't know if this is doctrine or not, but from what I understand in my studies, the sealing is not necessarily sealing mom and dad to me and the kids. The sealing is sealing to, like, we're connecting back into the family tree to our Heavenly Father, right? And so it's not so much making a bunch of singular family units. It's more connecting into the bigger whole. And so once you've tied into that, that's the purpose of a sealing.
Well, I agree, but it is made...
And then parents can marry and divorce as they will, but you're connected in the way that you're supposed to be connected in, and that works.
I like to think that, but I also wonder, because, the whole point of a sealing is that it's sanctified by the Holy Spirit of promise, and it's a priesthood ordinance, and therefore, if that is broken between the two parties who entered into it... I like to think that somehow the ceiling still retains for the children filtering down, But I've also heard many people that have had experiences where a bishop or somebody has said, like, no, that ceiling's like it's over. Like, hopefully the Lord will take care of it in some way.
It's I think it's similar to like your unworthy priest blessing and passing the sacrament. Is that ordinance somehow negated because of their worthiness to do it? And the answer is no. Right.
Yeah, but I think this is a little different. I mean, because like any sealing is...
Well, but it's the same question of like, why would that not be negated? Right? If they weren't worthy to perform that ordinance, why should that have any sway?
Well, that's not a question for a sealing, though. I mean...
Well, it's personal worthiness and
A sealing is only sanctified by commitment personal worthiness. Made. So that's what I'm saying. So if that... So if that commitment is not there, what does it mean? I've wondered this. I mean, my parents are divorced, so, of course, these are things I wonder about. And I don't know. I'm sure, sadly, many of you are in similar circumstances. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're not comfortable being on a board, want to be anonymous, shoot us an email instead, at contact@thisweekinmormons.com and communicate with us there. Because I'd be really interested in your insights.
So I guess my question on this scenario is, was the purpose of this bishop's chat, was it to do missionary work? Was it to get... Was it for them to convert their boyfriends/husbands?
No, I think it was more...
And is it more to go date outside the church, not so much marry outside the church, but if you date a guy and you bring him to church and you're just making out with him a little bit?
No, I think it was honestly more saying like, look, it's better for you to be with somebody in this life and be able
just
to grow...
Just feel a man's hand on your body.
Yeah, be able to grow as an individual than to just be alone. I think that's honestly what he was saying. Not just it's about conversion or anything. It's just about, like, it would be better for you to be married and have that fulfillment from that, even if it's not a temple marriage.
I want to know what love is.
I want you to show me,
baby. I want to feel what
love is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what you're doing.
I know you can show me.
Hey, so what's I got a jam here in a second, but what's the cool missionary wall at the visitor center?
This was pretty neat. I was over at the DC Temple Visitor Center last week, and to get there before the Festival of Lights was over and everything.
And yeah, the Hare Krishna temple thing. Yeah,
yeah, that's the one. And I put this on our Facebook wall, and I want to know if anybody else has seen this in any of the visitor centers around. But they had this whole room in the back, kind of next to where we wasted 2 hours watching I'm a Mormon videos, you know, that hot July day. But over there in the back, and they've followed around missionaries, people both before their mission, when they get their call, during their missions. They actually, this is like a multi-year project, filming them on their missions, following up with them after the fact, you know, months, years down the line, and seeing how they're doing. And they combine this all into these, you know, 10, 15 minute videos about them. And it's very, very fascinating just seeing the stories of these people and why they went on missions, clearly trying to sort of normalize the concept of missionaries as just like good, normal kids who are there doing a good job, not like, you know, kind of geeky, socially awkward boys from Spanish Fork or something like that. And it was really interesting. And, of course, the whole wall behind, they had three big LCD monitors that made up the way they shot this. So it was one big picture across all of that's screen space. It was just really, really cool. And it was fun to sit down. And they had the same thing, an iPad to choose videos and which ones you wanted to watch. But both an effective tool and an inspiring tool.
Was that like the district?
Much better than the district. The district it's better than the district. I really liked it. I could have sat there for a good hour and just cruised through these things and just seen, you know, what it was like for these kids to be on missions, what they've done afterwards, talk about just their experiences. It was pretty cool. And behind all the three screens, they had just this wall coated with people's missionary tags. And we had a listener who mentioned that a while ago the church had put out a call for people to just want to donate any sort of mission memorabilia.
Oh, yeah.
And I think now we know why. It's clearly for this sort of thing. So it was just really neat, and I don't know if it's gone up at other visitor centers or not, but it's a very effective tool, and I think if I were not LDS and if I were just there visiting, it's the kind of thing I would want to sit down and watch and understand, and I think that's perfect because that's what they're trying to accomplish.
Neat. Well, that is cool. Good for them.
Yeah, I really liked it, so. I think we could go now. Zarahemla Times came out. It's very bad.
As always, yeah. He's our favorite. He's our favorite loser.
He's the biggest loser.
He wins the biggest loser for us. Well done. Well done, you big wing.
Jillian.
But all right, man.
Remember that night in Kansas City when we sat there and watched Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition for like 2 hours?
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, it was so good.
I remember it was amazing.
I loved it. Well, good luck with the site, Al.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
And folks, you can find us, of course, at Facebook. Please add us on there. Like us. Follow us on there. Stay up to date with all of our news and happenings. That's facebook.com/thisweek.
You should really like us. Really like.
Please like us. We derive our sense of worth from other people's opinions of us. Also, Twitter is @TheRealTwim. And you can find this on iTunes at the end of thisweekinmormons.com to hear this podcast and our other podcast, Sunday School Bonanza, which...
Our better podcast, spiritual.
Which I'm working on, but we should be rolling for Doctrine and Covenants and Church History. All new this year. Brand new Sunday School Bonanza.
It will be tremendous, I swear it.
And also, we're working on some website redesign things. So hop over there and tell us if you like what I'm tinkering with.
Tell us in a comment on the site. That's
like, seriously, we like your feedback, and we want to have sites that are functional for you as a listener and user. So that'll be it.
And Thanks, everybody. Jeff, Happy New Year. Here we are.
And Happy New Year to you. And we'll talk again next week when we have another show and continue.
And more time.
In our daily and our round.
All right, man.
Bye, buddy. Good luck with the side stuff and everything you got going on. Look forward to it.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you.
Thanks. See ya. Thanks for listening to This Week in Mormons, folks. Can't do it without you. Look forward to talking to you next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.